Well, we need to be as scriptural in our songs as we are in our preaching. And I guarantee you, those songs was the revealed truth of God. Yeah. Find your way to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we will get there eventually, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here's a woman. She's 31, intelligent, competent. She's been offered her long-awaited management position. She will be financially secure the rest of her life. She discovers she is pregnant. She's not married. Maternity leave is out of the question. Her new job is too demanding. Her boss would not understand. Her sexual partner urges her to escape the hassle and get an abortion. Her future is on the line. She is all alone, away from her family. No one will ever know. It's nobody else's business anyway. Not surprisingly, she has the abortion. She's a 17-year-old high school senior. Her passions get away from her on a winter weekend ski retreat. She discovers that she is pregnant in February. Her parents will never understand, and his won't either. She is terribly confused. Her boyfriend thinks he can scrape up enough money for an abortion. She can kiss her scholarship goodbye if she has the baby. Her boyfriend shows up with the money. He will even drive her to the clinic. She yields, naturally. She's a 39-year-old mother of five. Her husband has recently left her. It's New Year's Eve. She goes to a company party, drinks way too much, spends the night with a guy she met there. After one sexual encounter, she gets pregnant. The last thing she wants or needs is another child. So she listens to a woman at work. "No problem, Doris. I know this doctor. It's not terribly expensive. Be smart." That settled it. 2 Timothy chapter 3 describes the age in which we are living. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says this: "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." The word perilous means painful or tragic or grievous or exceedingly violent. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Now I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And look at verse 31. Romans chapter 1 and verse 31 says this: "Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, without understanding, that is senseless, untrustworthy, that's faithless, unloving, that's heartless, and unmerciful, that is ruthless. And ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, that describes a great deal of people in America. Abortion is a litmus test for me personally, morally, politically, and biblically. So this evening, let's get a biblical perception. And ladies and gentlemen, this is not meant to be political. This was a biblical question way before it became a political question. So let's get a biblical perspective this evening. First of all, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Let's begin reading in verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image." The pronouns there are plural. God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image. And let them have, and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. Only human life by God's design possesses the image of God. Only human life can walk with and talk with and fellowship with the creator of this universe. So it should not surprise you that God included in the Decalogue, that is the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not murder," because we were created in the image of God. So what does murder have to do with abortion? I'm glad you asked. Let's go first of all to Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21. And let's begin reading in verse 22. "If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine." Okay, let's go back and dissect this somewhat. Here's men, they are fighting, and in the process of that, they hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her. That is, she gets caught in the middle of it, and she gets knocked around a little bit, and because of that, she has the baby early. "Yet no mischief follow." That is, the baby is delivered and the baby is fine. "He shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine." Verse 23, "And if any mischief follows," that is, the baby dies. then thou shalt give life for life. The individual that hurt the woman that had the baby and the baby died, that gentleman will be put to death. Why? Because it is life for life. That baby in the womb is a child. And that individual that caused that death will have his life taken. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a statute of limitations, the rest of that except for life in the Old Testament as to what you can do if something happens to another individual. If somebody just puts your eye out, you can't take their life, but you can take their eye out. It's a statute of limitations, okay? But if you kill a baby in the womb, that is life for life, okay? Now, Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Look at verse 25. Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 25. If you look at this chapter, there's a whole list of curses given in this chapter, okay? And it's basically saying, don't do this or you will be cursed. Here's number 25 in verse 25. Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person. Let me ask you something. Who is more innocent than a baby that's in the womb of its mother? And any person, there was an individual, I think it was in Philadelphia several years ago. He was a renowned abortionist. It all came out to the point where babies would be born alive, and he had a closet set aside. His name was Dr. Kermit, if you remember. He would take the baby, put it in this closet, and leave it there until it died. That's no different than going into the womb and taking the life of a baby there. Life begins, ladies and gentlemen, at conception. Who says that? I'll tell you who says that. God says that. We're going to go to Psalm 22 now. Psalm 22. And look at verses 9 and 10. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Okay, now Psalms 139. Psalms 139. And let's read verses 13 through 16. And please, let the truth of the Word of God absolutely speak to your heart. Because, ladies and gentlemen, from the beginning of Roe versus Wade, you understand that 65 million children have been put to death. 65 million. It doesn't fit in my mind. Verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. If a baby could talk, and this is what this is talking about here, in the womb, this is what that child would be saying. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. That baby in the womb is an eternal soul. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, when that baby was just so small. Substance was not hid from thee in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eye did see my substance, yet being unperfect, just a tiny little baby. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. What could be more clear and plain from God's heart to our heart about conception beginning at the a baby begins at the very moment of conception? If you don't have the first 5 minutes after conception, you don't have the last 5 minutes before that baby is born. Life is an absolute continuum from conception to death. And we have to understand that, and we have to live that. Life begins at conception. God sets apart human life as unique and distinctive and absolutely valuable. Because of that, He preserves human life as no other life on earth. That kind of life, once again, begins at conception. And I know that abortion has become a political issue that is only of secondary importance. Basically and fundamentally, it is a moral, biblical issue with national effects. Here's how it affects us nationally. Go with me to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. And look at verse 12. And this might help you understand why we are where we are in America. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and whose God is revealed in this book. Okay. Now I want you to go with me to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Look at verse 34. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And that's where we are. God help us. How in the world can we condemn what's going on in China with the Uyghurs or any other nation for human rights violation when we allow abortion on demand. Shame on us. Let's pray. Father, as a church, as your Son's body of Christ here at Harvest Baptist, oh, Father, forgive us. Help us. Dear Father, we just ask that you might help us to be those leaders in this nation that this nation desperately needs. It needs the same kind of leadership that came from Nehemiah when he saw something that was not right and he had a heart to fix it. And dear Father, what Nehemiah saw and what we are seeing, completely different. And we humble ourselves before you and we ask that you might forgive us. Thank you for these dear people that they came out this evening. And Father, you just help us to be true and faithful to your word. Thank you, dear Father, for the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for your willingness to walk that path and to allow yourself to be crucified and allow God the Father to put our sin on them. Oh, Father, thank you for your Son. Jesus, thank you for your willingness to go. Holy Spirit, thank you for that which you do in our heart when the truth of the word is revealed you confirm that in our hearts. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.